Every year, biologist Alan Curta spends a good part of the cold months traipsing around the north woods of the Great Lakes. He's looking for bats. To find them, he has to rappel down mine shafts. The old copper and iron mines in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota have become a favorite hibernation spot for bats. The temperature tends to be just right, cold but not freezing. So the bats spend the winter in these mines, hanging on the ceiling or jammed into crevices and old drill holes.
Now the numbers will vary from zero bats. In contrast to that, we can go to other mines that will have 10,000, 20,000, even up to 30,000 bats in a single mine. It's sort of like Christmas, you know, every time you go into a mine and you open the package, you don't know what you're going to find until you actually get there.
But these mines turned bat caves are endangered. Many open shafts are out in the woods. Over the years, many hikers and children have been killed, falling into these holes. The shafts vary in size. Many are unmarked and forgotten, and some are covered only with rotting wood. About 10 or 15 years ago, efforts began to seal up the old abandoned mines. Cheryl Ducommun is with Bat Conservation International. She says when they started closing them up, nobody thought twice about the bats.
Well, traditionally they used to just blow them up with dynamite or build brick walls to just permanently seal them. And that was actually entombing hibernating bats within those mines.
Ducommun says the Great Lakes region is home to one of the nation's largest populations of mine roosting bats. Bat Conservation International has been working with government agencies and private landowners to find ways to keep people safe while still keeping the mines accessible to bats. One of the most recent solutions can be found here in Hancock, Michigan.
Now, this is perfectly safe.
Ed Yarborough is the director of the Quincy Mine Hoist Association. He's standing on a metal grate over one of the Quincy Mine's old shafts. Through the grate, all that's visible is pitch darkness.
If it wasn't so dark, you'd be looking down about 400 feet to the water. And then if you could see down through the water, you could conceivably look about 2 miles.
This metal grate we're standing on is a bat grate, or bat cage. This one's about 4 feet by 10 feet, and it has an angled side that lets the bats easily fly in and out.
The way these cages are designed now, bats can fly straight through the cage and down into their habitat with very little hesitation without stopping.
Yarborough says that's important because in the past, some shafts were covered with pieces of chain-link fence. The hope was to give the bats access and still keep people from falling in. But he says they learned the hard way that this didn't work.
When they come to a chain link to get in or something like that, they have to land on it, crawl to the other side, and then fly on. And it was at that stage where the raccoons would sit and wait, and they just sit by the side there and snatch up the bats as they came through. And basically what they'd do, they'd grab the bats by their wings as they came through and just take a big bite out of the middle and then throw down the wings.
Ed Yarborough hopes the new bat-friendly grates will do more than just keep the bats from getting gobbled up. He wants the bat population to grow, and he also hopes the bats will attract tourists. Cheryl Ducommun of Bat Conservation International says many old mines have become tourist attractions. They've set up bat viewing in the fall when they swarm, trails, and educational kiosks. But Ducommun says this project isn't just about wildlife education, habitat protection, or even animal welfare.
Bats are ecologically and economically vital in the United States, and bats in the Great Lakes are just insect eaters, and they consume mass quantities of insects during the summer months when they're out feeding. One little brown bat can eat about 1,200 mosquito-sized insects every hour, so their impact cumulatively is tremendous on cotton bollworm moths, on our other extremely hazardous and costly crop pests and forest pests.
Both Ducommun and biologist Alan Curta say if it weren't for the good hibernation spots, like the mines, the population of bats in the Great Lakes would plummet, and the mosquito and blackfly numbers would skyrocket. And that's part of what drives Alan Curta to spend his time out in the woods looking for mines and searching for bats.
There are a lot of mines out there still that are open and that do have significant populations of bats, and it would be very nice to make sure that those are preserved.
For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Tamar Charney in Hancock, Michigan.